Welcome to the Easeful Uplevel, where we talk all things conscious entrepreneurship, spirituality, and upleveling without stress. Together, Aaron Tobias, our marketing expert, meets with Allison Borstad, our mindset expert, where we just get into the nitty-gritty of what it means to figure out who you are, what your purpose is, and what your next steps are. Our goal is to make it as effortless and easeful as possible, even when you're going through hard times. Our goal is to get our mindsets right and get our energy right so that we feel like we can attack anything, we can accomplish anything. Consider this your energetic upgrade of the day. We hope you love this episode. Hello, dear listener. I am so excited to introduce today's episode with the amazing Elizabeth Juarez. She is an inner child healer and an incredible intuitive and just an absolute powerhouse of a woman. You'll hear us at the beginning of the episode referencing how our tech kept wanting to short out because of the high frequency of this conversation. And I believe it. It was an absolutely mind-blowing episode. I cannot wait for you guys to hear it. So I just wanted to let you know if there was a few moments in there where things cut out for just a second. We cleaned most of it up in our post editing, but our tech was playing with us a little bit, but it didn't change the intense potency of this episode. So I'm so excited. Let's go ahead and jump on in.
I definitely have to keep, like, I don't know, maybe it's my laptop or something, but like I definitely have to keep like my energy down or grounded, or else like I feel that creates interference too.
No, honestly, we're living on the edge of like
solar flares and our witchy energy.
We're going to break the internet today, guys.
So I'll just try to like remain very calm, very zen.
So we're super excited to be here today with Elizabeth. Elizabeth is an inner child healer, and we are so excited about this conversation given everything that has ever gone on with Allison and I's relationship and the deep history we have of our childhood together and our very impactful meeting. Just to catch up everyone up, the first time I met Allison was the first time I can remember that my intuition came online. I had this like soul knowing when I was 4 years old and we were sitting in preschool that Allison was my soulmate. And I boldly went up to her and told her so. And so it was. We were best friends ever since then, and we've never stopped.
And like a true couple here, I have to interject to add my piece of this. Erin just like also was a micro preemie, tiny, tiny little thing. Now she's this tall, gorgeous woman that you'd have no idea, but like was like just such a peanut even at four when we met each other, and was like, you were so shy and so timid, at least the version of you that I knew then. And I was like one like running around with the boys, like clanging things and being like obnoxious and loud, and she was like very timid, and I had never heard her speak before until she came up to me and she was like, you will sit right next to me at circle time and you will be my best friend, and like very forcefully. And I was like, okay.
And then guess what? The next day also, she didn't realize this is forever. So she sat next to me in like, circle time that day. But then the next day, she didn't sit next to me. And I distinctly remember walking over to her and being like, we're supposed to be sitting next to each other. We're supposed to be best friends. And Allison was like, okay, crazy girl. Sure.
I obeyed though. I was like, listen, when Aaron speaks with conviction, you're like, okay, I'm coming.
So Elizabeth, we're so excited to have you here to unpack this. We also want to talk to you about the crazy thing that's been going on with this photo that is just like quantum leaping through our lives. If just to also catch everyone up on the backstory here, because we have a lot to unpack. It's 9 year old, or how old am I in that photo?
I don't know. I think it's your fourth grade. I think like it's your photo that I like, I guess, had in some kind of, as I was moving, had in some kind of memorabilia box with a bunch of other photos. I don't actually know. I didn't ever remember seeing this photo until it was like out on the floor one day. And I was like, and it appeared after I had a really significant conversation with Aaron, and I were like, should we go into business together? Should we start a podcast? Should we combine our lives? And we were like, this is, I don't know, are we going to do this? It was kind of like a question. And then all of a sudden, like little her showed up, and it was funny because it also was significant to me because I was like, you know what, when we were kids we were constantly conspiring, every different week was a different business. We're like, we're gonna have a pet store, we're gonna have a bookstore. We're going to have it like, we had all these, like, a lot of conspiring happened when we were little. And so I just thought it was so funny that this, and I keep wanting to find it to show it to people because it's so cute. But yeah, whatever fourth grade Aaron would be. So that might be like maybe 8 or 9. I don't know.
I think that's how old you are. Well, it's interesting because that was also the first picture that I was like really proud of. Like the first time you like dress up for your school photo. And I was feeling like such a diva in that photo. So it's interesting that that one decided to haunt you. So this photo has gone back into hiding. We don't know where it is.
And it just appears randomly at opportunity.
Yeah, it disappeared. It's also digitally gone from our phones because we have been texting it back and forth, like pictures of it to each other, because Allison was showing me like all the random places this photo was showing up in her home. And all the digital records of that are also gone.
Wow. On both of our phones.
It's very mysterious.
It's the weirdest thing that this thing keeps. And I remember at some point I thought I put it somewhere, maybe for safekeeping or something, and then it was gone. And I asked my husband, I'm like, did you move it? And he's like, no. And my kids, it was too high for my kids to reach. So I'm like, where is this thing gone again? Guaranteed it's going to come back. I know it will at some point, and it's going to be like.
So I first met Elizabeth, well, one of our first meetings actually was her inner child session, and she read me like a book. It was so powerful. I was like crying the whole time. I think as soon as we entered into the Zoom meeting, I just started crying because the energy was so loving and kind, and I felt so seen. And it was just such a powerful experience for me. And Elizabeth also, when she was describing to me what she saw my childhood like rec room, basically. It was just like this area of the house where basically I would play all the time. And she described it to a T. It's almost as if she did like leap back in time to see this. So she is very, very powerful. She is such an authority in this space. So could not imagine a better person to be here to unpack this. What is it, like a 20-year history that we have going on now, Allison? 25? We're 35 now. We met when we were 4, so that's almost.
No, we're at 30 years in at this point.
We're at 30 years, so let's get going because we got to unpack 30 years, 30 plus years.
This like, I have to ask Elizabeth because I've been so excited to meet you because Erin has been hyping you up ever since she was like texting me immediately. Oh. She's like, "Oh my gosh," about her experience with you, and I think this. I know this is something that you do with people. Is this kind of a unique scenario for you to read the inner childhoods or children of two people who've known each other since we were tiny? I think it's just like such an interesting scenario we have set up here for you to like.
Yeah, it's definitely, I was telling Aaron, it feels like Christmas. It's definitely the first scenario where I get to read like two best friends. I feel like it's not new for me though. And I'm like looking back and thinking like, I read like people and like groups all the time. Like, I think that was just like an inherent trait that I had. But to be able to sit down and play and like unpack things is exciting for me. So like, I feel it's almost like deja vu on one hand, but this is the first time. So I'm so excited that like you guys invited me to do this because this like lights me up.
Oh my God. I'm so excited too. Just as an aside, I'm a therapist by training. And part of me is like, if you could get married people together in terms of some of like the crap that they bring into no but truly like for them to connect to each other's inner child, like can you imagine anything more beautiful? So I'm just excited to see where your business goes with all of this, the healing that comes out of this.
Oh, thank you.
So what kind of like brought you on this path? What made you get started in this journey and kind of discover this line of work? Because I know it's not your initial trade.
Yeah, it definitely was not my initial trade, but I think it's been with me forever, honestly. I've always had like this natural, like playful tendency. I've always noticed that I'm able to bring out like the sweetness in others, even like the most grumpiest of people. And one of the first examples would be like my grandfather, who would be like super grumpy, but like when it came to me, he would always be just very kind and sweet. And so, I think initially, like, what brought me to this work, like, where I'm at now is I basically had like a reckoning. 2020 and 2021 were obviously like hard years for many of us. And honestly, like I just was, by the time I got to 2020 in my career, I had hit the success milestone that I had always been dreaming of. However, by the time I got to that milestone, I was basically like, for lack of better words, like war torn, because it was like struggling and fighting and hustling and doing everything that I needed since I was like 17 to 2020. I was 29. It's all these like things. And I was thinking that like getting to this like Shangri-La moment of like I've made it in my career was gonna like make my life better. And then 2020 happened and I realized like, no, this is going to get all ripped away from you. Like, this is not like, I realized how I put all my eggs in a basket and how like nothing is promised in life. And for me to think that like my life would be able to be sustained like within something outside of me and how it could all be taken away in a flash. You know, many people lost their jobs. I didn't, but I was on the line. So it was very scary experience for me, especially like after working so hard. So 2020, 2021, I basically learned so many basically deep, hard lessons, understanding that like just because you might have had a relationship for a long time, that's not promised. Putting all this investment and your identity and your spirit in a career and thinking, you know, money was like God, which was that was for me, that could get ripped away. So when I realized that it could all be taken away, I woke up, had a reckoning, and then 2022 was me basically putting all the pieces back together. I was picking up the pieces of just everything being completely shattered, all my ideologies, my beliefs, my identity being shattered. And when I was picking up all the pieces, I was feeling grief and loss and sadness and all of these emotions that just kept pouring out. And I was wondering like, oh my God, am I going to live like this for the rest of my life? Like, is it always going to be suffering? Is it always going to be hardship? So at the end of 2022, I hired a coach. It was a business coach because I thought it was all had to do with business. I had no idea that it was a spiritual thing. And by the end of that session, it was a 3-month coaching session. I basically was like, oh, I'm a healer and I'm like a medicine woman. Okay, cool. Like, I guess this is what I'm going to do now. And that's kind of, I jumped into it because I could feel the difference of that felt like home and that felt like my true essence. And funny enough, I was just thinking about it the other day. I actually had won a speech contest in first grade because I wanted, like I talked about how I wanted to be a nurse and I wanted to help people heal and connect. So it was interesting for me. I had woken up after 30 years realizing that like I've been living a lot of shoulds. I should do this. I should follow this career path. When actually I realized like, oh my God, that's not, I thought that was what was going to lead me to happiness. And it wasn't. It was completely like my energy was put in somebody else's basket, basically. And so I'm still going through a grieving process because there's just so much unraveling and unlearning that I had to do after 20 years. I mean, this goes again, going back to childhood. So when I realized like, oh, I got to revisit my childhood and like revisit it from an awakened lens, that's basically how I walk through this door of like inner child work, because that's basically where it starts, like our programming, our conditioning from 0 to 8 and beyond. Honestly, I not only do like inner child healing, but it's really like past life healing or past life healing in this lifetime or past life healing in other lifetimes. But it's going back to the past, revisiting it and looking at it through a different lens, because that's the healing part. And you guys have mentioned like the whole quantum leap and like quantum field. It's kind of what it is like you are now awakened. You are now aware of so many more dynamics that you were not aware of before as a child, that when you revisit a pivotal moment that you had with you and your parents, for example, you are now able to understand where your parents are coming from, understand that it had nothing to do with you, that your parents might have been going through crap that, like, that was stressing them out, but because you didn't know better, you internalized it. And when you're able to see that as almost like outside of yourself, like on a movie screen, you can let go of all of this conflict that you've been carrying, thinking it's your fault because it wasn't. And by dissipating that, that is the healing. That is the quantum leap. That is you shifting it because you've shifted your perspective. And you can, like, then when you come back to your present moment, you have changed because you are no longer carrying the same conflicts that you carried from the past. So that's, I think, the beauty of, like, past life healing and the beauty of inner child healing, because you see noticeable shifts and you feel it quite instantly. And a lot of it is by giving yourself love and giving your parents love.
This is blowing my mind a little bit. Hey. I mean, it's something that's, as you were speaking, the thought that I was thinking is, you know, like, oftentimes people say you can't change the past. The past is the past. And I'm like, honestly, doing this work, you can change the past, because what if you got the past wrong, right? Or you had it in that one lens of, like, you know, if this thing was going around, like going on around me when I was 6 years old, and 6 year old me decided it was my fault, or I thought that this was happening. And then, but when you go back, like you're saying, on this, like, this quantum level of how, like, you change and it can shift everything, right? If you go back and look at it differently, where you're like, I had one narrative, but if I come back with a different lens and it's different, like, you are kind of like reshaping the past and reshaping your future. I mean, you're like time traveling.
You are.
That's, right?
That's exactly, I love that you got that. That's exactly what it is. You're literally time traveling back in time. And the thing is that, like, there's a nuance to it, because the truth is like, you really cannot go back and change what happened to you. Like, mm-hmm. that it will always remain. And you have to honor that you cannot change what occurred. There is no way that you can do that, at least not right now. However, what you are changing is you are changing the perspective. You're changing your, like, capacity, and you're changing your understanding of it so that you are able to, like, free yourself and let go. It is time traveling, 1000%. There's still a moment where you have to honor the past and honor that, like, what happened. And then also, mm-hmm. when you go back and shift that lens, you are shifting something within yourself presently. And because you're shifted presently, then your future gets shifted too, because now you're making decisions from a different version of you versus who you were before the meditation or before the healing. So that is how you get to shift the past, present, and future, but also honoring that you can't tell the future, honoring where you are in the present, and honoring what did happen and what occurred. Because that is a big thing for people, is, like, I think people get a little bit, I'd say, like, you know, emotional about, like, the invalidating of what happened, but we're not invalidating it. We're honoring mm-hmm. it, and also providing a broader lens in the hope of bringing about that healing.
Yeah, I think the way that you set up your sessions is so beautiful, because it really does take care to honor that experience that you had as a child, and it doesn't invalidate the perspective that you had. Mm-hmm. So while you might be also gaining some additional knowledge or additional understanding of the full scope, you're kind of helping us to zoom out and see all the different layers that are available. You're still recognizing that those feelings of that child in that moment are still very valid. And I think that honestly is what, like, choked me up so much whenever you and I did our session together, because I think there was so much of me that was invalidating those mm-hmm. feelings that I had in those moments. And so it was really healing for me just to hear that these emotions that I had were okay, and they are valid, and there's still, but also, like, there is a larger picture to understand. And it was very, very healing in that way. You do a great job of approaching the subject matter.
Thank you. Yeah, I find a lot that, you know, it's hard. Like, I've been told this before of like, oh, you're feeling sad. Just don't feel sad anymore. Oh, you're just do this. Just do that. Just do this. And it's like, I don't know how. Like, I don't know what that means. And so I think that comes like, honestly, like, I think that that validation comes because that's the secret sauce to be able to open up the walls that people may have built around their hearts. Because if you don't acknowledge, if you don't honor and validate what the inner child was feeling, they just want to fight. They just want to fight and like be heard. And they have this like angstiness, like, no, hear me. It's the tantrum. But once you're able to like give them love and honor and acknowledge them, that melts away. And that's what creates the space for the inner child and the person to like open up, because so many times the inner child qualities are dismissed in today's society. We have to grow up so fast. We have to be responsible. We have to do this. We have to do that. So more and more that playful, creative, sparkly version of ourselves get pushed to the side. And when you finally come to sit down and to connect to those feelings, that's when the tears come out. Because it's like, I can't believe I treated myself so badly. I'm sorry. But it's a huge exercise in forgiveness, in unconditional love, in worthiness, just even in the scope of like an hour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was very transformative. And I loved also the exercise that you did to help me to connect to my inner child. You had to have me draw with my left hand. And that was really, really neat too, to kind of like have that experience of feeling like, wow, what I'm seeing in front of my eyes is also looking like it's from a child. And so mm-hmm. it's like a full sensory opportunity to really connect in to your heart and kind of remember the beautiful things about being a kid and the mystery that was all around during that time. So we're just talking about how Alice has been doing a lot of inner child work. So I'm not surprised mm-hmm. that you got a lot of messages for her. Actually.
I did.
Yeah, I've been really diving into all the inner child kind of stuff. And we were like, we actually love that you were dropping out so we could like process some of the just beautiful gold gems aww. That you just dropped. No, truly, of like the whole integration, right, of the shadow and the light and how it interplays and how you can grieve things that happened and hold space for like what child you felt and then hold space for what adult you thinks and feels and have those interplay and love on each other. Like, to me, I almost think of that like yin yang, right, where like it's like the, you know, forever the light and the dark kind of going and cycling into each other and in terms of like wholeness, right, like that yes. integration.
Yes, I yeah. love that you brought that up, because that's exactly what it is. It's understanding that your shadow is just as natural as like the shadow you see on the sidewalk, and that there's nothing to fear. It like you don't walk around fearing your shadow. And so this like psychological Jungian spiritual shadow that you have is also a part of you, but so many people push it away, that it will come back, slap you in the face full force. And then you wonder why you're feeling frustrated and angry and burnt out and stuck, which is what I was feeling when I had my awakening. And what's interesting is that many people, you know, with the shadow, a lot of people think it's only the bad things, like your mean side or your, your stingy side, your greedy side, like all these already bad things, but it's anything that's like not accepted within yourself or not accepted as like the ideal. And so the inner child may not be accepted or ideal because they don't have qualities that will allow us to succeed in the rat race, in the everyday grind. So we push that to the side, or we repress it. And when we repress it, that actually creates internal conflict. So we're walking around completely conflicted within ourselves, not only with the inner child, but with like all parts of ourselves that we're not accepting. And I think what's interesting is messaging. Not only are we now seeing things on TV, but we have social media. And like all this messaging of what's acceptable, what's not acceptable. It's so overwhelming. You need to sell a million emails. You have to stop eating apples and fruits and carrots and all of this stuff. You're just creating more conflict within yourself. So is it any wonder that we're seeing conflict in our physical day-to-day world? Like, that what you see inside is what is, like, what is outside. So there's all these people running away from their shadow, from their darkness, creating that conflict, exacerbating that conflict, and they wonder why they feel so terrible. And also that shift, because the moment you just stop and turn around and face it and acknowledge it, that is honoring it, and then the conflict dissolves. People cry, but then they feel better. And so, like, that is the healing. Like, that is what you have to do, is you have to be willing enough to just stop running from your monsters, turn around and face them. And it's funny because the inner child can be seen as like a monster because it's not acceptable. But then when you turn around and you face the inner child, it's like, I can't believe I've been thinking of you as a monster and I've been treating you so harshly. So it's a double whammy, because you dared to turn around and face your shadow. And then you dare to turn around and forgive and love yourself. And the inner child is the epitome of, like, unconditional love. And a lot of the times they're like, it's okay. I just want to play with you and I just want to love you. In the very same way that kids are so similar like that. Parents mess up and you say sorry to the kids and the kids are like, you know what? I forgive you. It's okay. You know, so to do that within yourself and to dissipate this internal conflict and build confidence through acknowledging your scary side, but it's not scary because you realize it's natural and organic. That is creating wholeness, and that is creating really, like, a beautiful, like, fulfillment from within.
This is just so beautiful, so wild. It's so funny. I was having a conversation literally just this morning with my 6-year-old about honesty and, like, the saying sorry piece, right? Because it's the whole, like, okay, something that you've deemed bad has happened, or a mistake or an accident or something, and then you conceal it on top of it. And I said, honestly, often it's the concealing or the hiding, the lying, the running away, all that kind of stuff that actually makes the bigger problem. Mm-hmm. And really, like, if you know, like, threw a ball to a friend, it hit him in the face. If you were just like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, and you came to them and like, I didn't mean to, and what can I do for you, versus I didn't do it and I don't know what you're talking, like almost the second part, right, is where the relational damage happens, and then the shame, right, of not fessing up. We were getting into all that. I was like, so even though it's hard, it's always better just, like, be honest. And it was really cool talking to, you know, he's 6 years old, but, like, he got it. He's like, yeah, totally. He's like, why, we should all should just be honest, right? And he literally said, it saves time.
It does.
That's why I'm always so honest, because I'm like, I'm just going to cut to the chase. Let me tell right? you. And sometimes, like, that can feel really abrasive, you know, like, mm-hmm. whenever I've really had to work on my delivery of my honest truths, because that's the other thing Allison and I always crack up about, because, like, I was always just, like, very much like, when I saw it, I would see it when we were growing up. Mm-hmm. And we had this whole saying that we've talked about before on the podcast, which was like, you can't lie about the truth. Mm-hmm. But that just came, and that came from me just being like, saying out loud what I saw and what I was feeling in that moment.
I think that's why you're punk rock, actually.
Yeah. Well, and she literally can't lie. Wait, can I share, Erin, when we were younger on, like, I think it was like a church retreat or something, but we were all playing Bullshit, the card game, right? Where you're supposed to lie. Erin cannot play it for the life of her. Nope. I'm guessing you can't play poker either. I mean, truly could not. All you had to do was look at her and she would just, like, she couldn't take it. No poker face. Like, she was just like, I don't understand a whole game around lying. She's like, I literally can't. My physiology can't even do it. I cannot lie.
I'm the same way.
I literally have no choice.
I'm the same way. Like, I will giggle. I will, like, my inner joy of, like, I got the better cards. And, like, it'll all just come out. But in the same way, though, like, when you see it and you call a spade, a lot of the times that's the work, is that people get mad, and people, you know, some people, with respect to everybody's own inner healing journey, when you're able to call out the truth, I think that's actually the essence of like the wild woman, honestly. The wild woman knows she's in her truth. You can't pass nothing by her. But that is actually very threatening to a lot of people who are not ready to acknowledge their own shadow. So if you're walking around super bright, you're only like putting more of a contrast to a person's shadow. You're the one that's looked at as like the bad guy. And that's an unlearning that I had to go through of like, I'm not the bad guy. Like, I'm just shining and like owning that shine. And in the old days, we were persecuted for it. Now we're different where it's like, no more persecution. Like this is time for us to shine. All of us.
Mm-hmm. We have arrived. Mm-hmm. And I find myself admiring like everyone who is courageous enough to show up as themselves. I love working in the creative space because it really does strip you bare. Like in order to do your best work, you have to show up in your most authentic. I mean, I can't even say it because right, it makes your throat chakra just close up when you think, oh my gosh, I'm gonna have to show up as myself. I have no choice. I have to be stripped bare in order to make the impact that you want to make. You really do have to speak your truth, show up the way you look that day. Like you really have no choice if you are wanting to make the type of impact I think that we're all seeking to make at this point, which is just that true, authentic connection. But it also can also be, it can be triggering inside and also triggering to other people too. So it's
scary.
It's interesting. It's a paradox.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
When someone's going through inner child work, is there like often a theme to the type of things that like we're healing inside of us? Like, what are you generally noticing as you like worked with so many people to do this work?
There's a lot that comes up over and over again. A lot of the times the theme to the work is that they need their own, like they're looking for validation. Their wounded inner child is like, I don't think I'm enough. I don't think I'm okay to come out. I want to come out. And I feel this like it's again, the conflict has gotten too big where like the person that I'm reading has like basically it's gotten so big that they don't know what else to do and they don't know where to turn. And a lot of it is the number one is how can I heal my inner child or how can I find the love and the happiness? And the irony and the paradox is like when you're asking like those questions, you already have it within you. It's almost like they're looking for me or somebody else to say like, hey, it's okay to shine. It's okay to be bright. And sometimes that's necessary, honestly. But what ends up happening is once you begin healing the inner child and the inner child is like, woohoo, I'm free and I can go play, you realize that you really don't need anybody else's permission. In fact, kind of permission doesn't exist. You know, that's a conditioning from when you're younger, which is obviously necessary. And you know, there's a room and a place for that. However, as adults, it's like they're over here and they're like, I want to be creative. I want to let myself shine. And it's like, can I do this? I don't know if I could do this. And I'm just usually telling them like, yeah, girl, like, let it go. Like, it's your time. You've done a lot of work already. And so it's the acknowledging of it and understanding that you are now your own validation. You are now your own parent, your own adult, but there's really no rules anymore.
Yeah, I feel that because it's interesting. I mean, our session was very positive. I mean, I was crying through it, but it wasn't like you were bringing up any like hard truths to me. What you mostly were saying was like, you're doing great. Keep going. And yeah, that was interesting. That felt very validating because I think you know, when I started in my business journey, I reconnected to my inner child and I said, what did she like to do? Let me just even remember that. And so this journey that I've been on for the past several years has been to help reconnect myself into the things that little Erin liked to do. And she liked to do a lot of things. She loved to report. She loved to learn people's stories. She was obsessed with journalism. So like podcasting is really fun for me. I love hearing other people's stories. She liked to dance. She liked to do all sorts of creative things. And so it was really wonderful to hear that from you. And I know the journey is not done. It's just starting where I am right now. It's just beginning. But I want to also acknowledge that, like, inner child work can sometimes be, I don't know, I think it has this, like, mysterious nature. Like, a lot of people think, oh, it's going to be really dark and I am going to go through that grieving period and I am going to have to feel the hard things that I don't want to feel. But also it can be very light and playful, and it can be kind of like that exploration, that remembrance. It can bring so much joy and light into your life as well. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't always need to be that, like, grieving moment. I think everyone should expect to go through some of those grieving moments, and that's, I think, to be expected. But also, I don't want to necessarily turn people off, because there's a lot of happiness at, you know, during that process as well. And also at the end, of course, you feel so free.
Well, what's interesting with everything that you're saying, going back to the paradox, a lot of this work is paradox, because so many, I think the normal thing is to grieve and to do the hard thing and to suffer and to do this and to do that. And you got to trudge along, because that's just what we're taught. What's crazy and, like, mind-blowing is that the most radical thing is joy. Imagine being, like, keeping your joy intact when everybody else is like, woe is me, I'm suffering and doomsday and all of this. To keep your joy is the most radical standout thing that you can do despite of everything. So when we talk about happiness, when we talk about joy, everybody wants happiness. Everybody wants joy and wellness and well-being. And they look at other people and wish that they can have it. Or sometimes they're jealous that they don't have it, which is two sides of the same coin. And so it can feel very dangerous to come from a life of survival mode and fight or flight to now you're at ease and you're joyful and you're well-being. You're going to look around and be like, oh my God, where's the shoe going to drop? If you're not conditioning yourself, if you're not supporting, if you're not grieving and feeling and purging. And so what's interesting is that another theme, so many people that come to me, they've done so much work. They've done the digging, they've done the searching, they've done all the work for 20 years, 30 years. And by the time that they get to me, their inner child is like, look, I honor and acknowledge you for doing all this work, but guess what? Now's time to let go and to enjoy the joy and to trust that this new joyful, playful version of you is going to soar and fly. And I get double takes where, like, the inner child will be like, there's no more work to do. There's nothing else that you have to dig. There's no more work that you got to do. You've made it. And everyone is so, like, holding on to the shovels. I'm like, no, 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 there's still more things. And so it's crazy, because the shadow for me, you think of, like, the shadow as, like, the underworld and, like, the underbelly. But the flip side to it, and to understand this dark, is Enchanted Forest. And the inner child is the guide in the Enchanted Forest. It's the darkness that magic can happen and abundance can happen and unicorns float by and magical creatures float by. But everyone is so afraid of, like, oh no, the monsters and the creatures, that the fear doesn't allow them to really be present into where they are. And so the inner child as a guide is open and curious and open to wonder and open to see the three-eyed butterfly or the six-legged unicorn, which is what we see in, like, little kids' drawings and stuff. That's their imagination. But we've become so closed off thinking that, like, that area is so bad that we don't dare visit it. That when we're as adults, we're like, no, we don't want to go over there. And of all people, the inner child's like, no, come over here. The water's fine.
I love how Elizabeth was calling me out there. She's telling me, she's speaking to my soul. She's like, maybe the work is done, girl. Maybe you just need to enjoy.
No, seriously, that also really resonated with me too. Cause, like, especially, like, sometimes I'm really holding on to that shovel, like, though. Right? I'm like, let me go a little deeper. But it's like, why don't we pause and let some, like, the butterflies fly up, right? Like, come on. Chill out, man.
We need to stop taking ourselves so seriously over here. You're just, like, speaking into my soul. Like, first of all, you have such a strong intuition. So I want to ask you also, how did you develop and harness that? And has it always been something you've been connected to? I'm fascinated to learn, like, how you got to be so powerful.
Oh, thank you. I I think I've always had the intuition, but I've always pushed it to the side because it was to be dismissed. There was nothing else existed in my world unless it was tangible. So I wouldn't be taken seriously if I didn't have enough money. I wouldn't be heard if I didn't have the top position in my career. All of this tangible things. So when I felt the strong disconnect, I realized that my gifts are actually in the unseen and the in-between. Collaboration, generosity, giving, energy, all of these things that you can't prove because you can't see it, which is not true, but that's a whole different thing. But when I woke up that to my gifts and I owned them and honored them and be like, no, this is real. There's something to explore here. That's honestly when like everything kind of ignited for me. And it's been very rewarding because the more I honor my gifts, the more they give me gifts. So very reciprocal and symbiotic. But also, I'm not the only one. Like, anyone can do this. It's a matter of honor. Like, honor is a very big ethos for me, because you can do so many things by just a simple honoring and acknowledging of anything, honestly. And that opens so many doors. That's like the magic password.
Wow. That's so fascinating to me. I just have to take a second. Every time you just drop these truth bombs, I'm just like, whoa.
Oh, thank you.
This is like truth telling. I mean, it's amazing, Elizabeth. Yeah, I really do appreciate you for saying that too. And like you also, I mean, I've been on my own journey to strengthen my intuition and honor it and acknowledge it. And I really appreciate your encouragement because you have been encouraging me along the way to do that. And I just really look up to you because you are so like in tune with what you see and what you hear. And you're not afraid to like really speak into this very powerful existence that you have, but like the truths that you see in other people.
Thank you. It's scary. I gotta, you know, honestly, it's, and I've told you this before because you and I have talked about like in my newsletter and my messaging, it's scary to like put yourself out there. So like I can sit here and talk about honor and truth and like do it for others. But when it comes to doing it for myself again, it's like I have to stay honest within myself too, because then that energy reads. And I would be lying if I did not say every single day, I feel fear, I feel grief, I feel all of these crappy emotions, but they're not crappy. They're best. They're gifts too. But I think people think like, oh, love and light and inner child and play. But you really have to dare to go into the enchanted forest, into that shadow world. And what comes out of it is treasure. You know, you face your dragons, but dragons usually guard treasure. So when you're able to face them, you can reap those benefits. But it's scary every day, every day.
Well, it's so interesting that you say that, because in terms of the healing journey, I do feel like there's something when you stop repressing things and you start looking at things and facing the monster and all this kind of stuff, like in some ways you get more sensitive, you feel yeah. things more in various ways. And so, and it's funny when I talk to people about like, when they're like this thing that we're working towards, which is like ease and peace and love and joy. And like, to me, it's more like the lack of turmoil. Of like, I don't have like these things fighting within me as much. I mean, of course, there's moments, but I think it's more of like, okay, we have this peaceful baseline. And then there's like the day to day, like something random happens and this and that. And you react and like you're a human being that feels all your feelings. But at the end of the day, there's not like these like warring beasts or this something that you have like, I have boxed this and pushed it here and I'm putting energy into keeping this over here or down here. It's like once you take some of that out, like, it's so freeing and there's so much less work to be done in terms of like wrestling with that stuff. You know, you just kind of let it out and you look at it and you honor it. Like all those things that you're saying of like the fight and the wrestling kind of goes away. It's just like, let's just allow.
Yes.
Like, let's just let it flow.
It's the allowing.
Different energy.
Yes. It's the allowing. It's the surrendering. It's the trust. It's the faith, the honesty, because it's like moving mountains and moving boulders when you dare say like, oh, you know what? I'm being irritable or I'm scared or I need help, you know, or to be like leaning on somebody else. Anything that puts you in a vulnerable place, it's scary. It is really easy to like push it away, push it in a box because that's what we've learned to do. But as you said, it takes so much energy. And like the beauty of the ease is that it's not like you're walking through life and there's less things like happening to you, or there's less, I don't know, conflict on the outside. You're so confident from the inside that you exude that. And that like positive pressure from the inside out creates insulation for you to be able to walk through the world kind of insulated and protected and bubbled. But it's not coming from anywhere else other than you, because it's not coming anywhere else other than you. There's more where that came from. No one can take that away from you. And when you realize that, and that you have the power to like affect others through that in a positive way, whew, watch out, world. And that's why I do what I do, because if we can have all those people, I think the world would be a lot, you know, different place.
We're trying.
Amen.
I mean, we're trying to have all like, those people.
Well, it's so funny too. Actually, this might be not a new concept to other people, but it was a new one that I just learned this past week of tall poppy syndrome. Right, that people get afraid, right, to be the one flower, right, that is taller than the rest. It's the whole thing about shining, right? Because this idea that it's the highest head that's going to get chopped off, right? Or that's a target, right? Whether it's, you know, the flowers down here or something else. And I think this is the whole thing of even this, the proverbial climbing to the top of the mountain and worrying that someone's going to snatch it, or your job is going to go away, or all these things. But I think I do think there is something to this, and there is this phenomenon too of like people who kind of shine or get to the top that do have skeletons in their closet. People, like, it's a magnifying glass, and that can like chop some people down for sure. But this concept of like, if what is making me shine is truly love, how do you chop down love?
Yeah.
And if I'm like shining and it's literally bringing everybody up and they're growing, like it's making them grow, like good luck chopping me down. Yes. And my roots, you know, like all of that kind of stuff of like, I do think there's some moments of like, if the height you're getting is because you're stepping over other flowers, you know, and like eating other flowers to get up there, then like, yeah, you're going to get chopped. But I think this concept of like, I think there's a safe way to shine, and it's the shine that's like that pure love and joy is like undeniable.
Yeah.
Right. So, truth.
I love what you said. I got like so excited. Everything you said is like the magic, because the tall poppy syndrome, being afraid to shine because your head's going to get chopped off or the flower, it's because like that's death. That's like a representation of death. Like you're going to die if you do that. And what's interesting is like, because you're facing the shadow and you're facing what's not ideal to your ego, you are actually putting yourself in the fire. You are actually putting yourself in an ego death. So like what you're facing is death, and you're not, you know, you're still alive, but obviously like there's a part of you that is so scared that it's going to die, that it would rather repress everything in a box then have you face it. So you face the things that you think are going to make you die, and then you're facing death. And the more you face death, and the more you realize like, wait a second, I'm okay, I'm alive, then the shiner and brighter you become, because you realize like the darkness is not to be scared of. Death, yes, not that I want death like in real life, but this feeling of I'm going to die goes away. So you're no longer scared of doing things that you may not have done before. And then talking about like the idea of like skeletons in the closet, it's not that everybody has to air their dirty laundry, but some people don't even want to face their own dirty laundry on their own. And if you don't do that, then you're not going to face that necessary death and acceptance of the dirty laundry. So when you get to the top, and if that comes out, people are going to be like, you did this and you did that. And if you haven't gotten the muscle memory to fight that out and grapple with it, then you're going to be in a much, it's going to be a tougher time for you versus when you're saying, when you're up there and you're like, you know what? Yeah, I did do that. I'm sorry. I made mistakes. I acknowledge I'm not perfect. And it goes back to the conversation that you had with your, I think it was your son, where, for example, you know, in authenticity, I was driving down the street. There was a motorcyclist and I didn't see him, and I almost went into him, and he like slammed on my car really hard, and I rolled down the window and I was like, I'm so sorry, I did not see you, I apologize. Like, what are you doing? You're doing this, you crazy. I know, I made a bad mistake, I'm sorry, I apologize. Instantly his shoulders went down, And he was like, you know what? It's okay. Whatever. And I was like, go ahead. Like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And so to be able to authentically say how dumb of a move that was, I told him, I didn't look in my mirror. I wasn't paying attention. I apologize. I'm really like, sorry. He like let go and he kept moving. And so for me to say like, I'm a perfect driver and I never make these mistakes would be ridiculous because everyone does stupid stuff. And so the fear and even acknowledging that other situations, it would have been like, hey, motorcyclist, you shouldn't have been in my way. Watch what you're going. But that just creates more conflict. So when you're able to face the most problematic, scariest skeleton in your closet, you've already done the work of facing death and fear already, that when you are that one poppy, you're not scared anymore because you've already come to terms, forgiven yourself, acknowledged it, and now you're whole. And so if somebody does bring it up, there's nothing for you to fight. You're like, yeah, I did do that. I did. I'm sorry. You know, I messed up. And you can't really say anything to that. No one can really hold anything for you because like, you're like, yeah, what do you want from me? I got nothing. So there's huge beauty and strength in that.
I'm just sitting here thinking, like, what a better world we would be if, like,
people. Yeah, just, honestly, I feel like we're unlocking the keys to the press conference.
Someone like getting on their microphone, all the press around them, and being like, "Yeah, I really did mess up. I shouldn't have done that."
Sorry.
Like, when do you? Like, I've seen that. Like, I think Reese Witherspoon did that, where she had like she was like being belligerent, and she went on TV, and she's like, "I'm sorry. Like, my bad. I did it. Yes, it was a mistake." You didn't hear anything after that because she owned it. Mm-hmm. And you don't really see too many examples of that. A lot of the times people want to blame others instantly, project, point the finger. But if you, again, you save yourself time of like all these things. If you're like, yeah, I did it, guys, my mistake. Because who can honestly, we're all human. Who can honestly say, you know, he throw the first stone, basically.
I think we're going to have Elizabeth back at some point because this is like so profound. It's blowing my mind. I'm going to have to re-listen to this 3 times.
Thank you so much, Elizabeth. It was so good to have you. And we're so grateful for your knowledge and your wisdom.
So listener, we decided to stop our episode there because there was a lot of truth bombs dropped, a lot to digest, but we are not done with Elizabeth Torres. We ended up continuing talking to her, and she did a specific inner child reading for both Allison and Aaron, and also mapped their inner children onto each other in terms of their working style. So this was a really cool episode that you'll be able to hear next week, where we'll also get into the importance of playfulness and owning who you are. And of course, the conversation will go deep. You already know. So stay tuned for next week as we go a bit deeper. In the meantime, if you want to follow Elizabeth, go ahead and look her up on Instagram at the.elizabethj. Again, that's the.elizabethj. She's absolutely amazing. We felt like we could talk to her all day, and we really hope that you seek her out on your own and forge a connection with her, because everything she puts out to the universe is gold. So we will see you next week as we dive a bit deeper into our inner children. But in the meantime, maybe you should say hi to your inner child. Maybe find some old pictures of yourself from when you were tiny and go look at how cute and just beautiful and pure and innocent and lovely you absolutely were when you were tiny. And let's give some love to that little you this week. And then we'll see you next week.